Infant baptism. Three common mistakes. As I closed the previous chapter, I said that before we explore the theory and practice of infant baptism, some cautionary remarks are necessary. For a start, the dispute over infant baptism does not concern merely the age of a person to be baptized. No, the controversy is not over adult baptism, as against infant baptism. That is to trivialize the debate. It is believer's baptism, as against all other sorts of baptism. Having made that important point, I now move on to look at three common but fundamental mistakes in dealing with infant baptism. 1. It is wrong to dismiss the practice of infant baptism on the grounds that it is Old Testament teaching. It is true that infant baptizers make a great deal of the Old Testament in one way or another in the presentation of their case, and they do mistakenly rely heavily on the Old Testament rite of circumcision. Having said that, it is too easy, and it is totally wrong, to dismiss their arguments as merely Old Testament teaching. It is a terrible error to dismiss the Old Testament. In this book, I say some strong things about its misuse and the misguided application of it to church life. But this must not be taken to mean that I dismiss the Old Testament itself. Let me say it, and say it loud and clear. The Old Testament is a part of the infallible Word of God, and it must be treated as such. However, there are substantial differences between the two testaments, and it is vital to give these their proper weight. Nevertheless, this must never degenerate into dismissing the Old Testament. It is sometimes done, and it is wrong. 2. It is also wrong to regard every reference to baptism in the Bible as meaning water baptism. It is not so. In some passages of Scripture, the baptism involved cannot possibly refer to water baptism. Baptists sometimes, perhaps frequently, mistakenly take these particular verses as referring to water baptism, and then qualify the biblical statements by introducing the idea of faith and/or representation. This is wrong. The truth is, the Bible speaks of both water baptism and spiritual baptism. These must always be distinguished. The New Testament does, and in no uncertain terms. I must spend just a little time on the differences between the two. One baptism is a physical act to do with water. The other is at least regeneration by the Holy Spirit, a baptism which unites the person to Christ. A clear distinction is drawn between these two baptisms. John baptized with water. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Both men were baptizers, but they baptized in different realms. Furthermore, Jesus is still baptizing to this very day, something which is not always appreciated. A comparison, even a contrast, is drawn between John the Baptist and Jesus Christ as to their persons. One was a great prophet, the other is the Son of God, and there is a corresponding contrast drawn between their baptisms. This contrast is not between two water baptisms, but between two baptisms in two totally different realms, baptism in water and baptism in the Spirit. John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. I repeat, these two baptisms, water baptism and Spirit baptism, must be carefully distinguished. Infant baptizers as well as Baptists can confuse them, with disastrous results. I will produce the evidence. Observe this also. It is Christ who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. As just noted, Christ is still a baptizer, and this fact must be given its full weight. He does not delegate it to others. He does not use his ministers, let alone priests, to baptize with the Spirit. Nor does he use his ministers to baptize with water, and thereby baptize with the Spirit. No, Jesus himself baptizes with the Spirit. Now, papists believe that when a priest sprinkles an infant, Christ is baptizing the infant with the Holy Spirit through and by the ministrations of the priest. And we shall see that Reformed infant baptizers get dangerously close to saying something similar. Before you throw down my book in disgust or stop listening to this audio in disgust, I ask you to listen on. I produce evidence for what I assert. But whoever says it, and for whatever motive, I contend that when men say that Christ baptizes with his Spirit as ministers baptize with water, they are grievously in error. Jesus is the only minister who baptizes with the Spirit, and he does not delegate this work to any man. He does it himself. He does it directly. Who regenerates and renews by the Holy Spirit? Is it ministers? No, it is not. Is it Christ through ministers? No, it is God our Savior. According to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. God our Savior baptizes with the Spirit through Jesus Christ. God does not do it through his ministers by water baptism. It is Christ who does the work. He is the minister who spiritually baptizes. What is more, water baptism is not only different to spiritual baptism. The one has no cause-effect connection with the other. None whatsoever. Ah, says an objector, but what about those verses which speak of water or washing? Now it is true that water or washing is mentioned in John 3, 1 Corinthians 6, Ephesians 5, Titus 3, and Hebrews 10, for instance. But this does not refer to water baptism. The water, the washing, is figurative, in exactly the same way as the fire in Matthew 3 is figurative. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Just because water is mentioned, we must not leap to the conclusion that we are talking about baptism. Those who think the water is literal must be consistent, and in addition to sprinkling infants, they should roast them. But the water and the fire are both figurative. They are figures of the purifying, cleansing, renewing power of the Spirit of God in regeneration, in which he gives a new, clean heart. Nothing to do with water baptism. To return to the main point, there are two baptisms which must be differentiated. Peter, when he dealt with Cornelius, distinguished the two baptisms, by the Spirit and by water. He only thought of water baptism after the people had been spiritually baptized and the evidences of it were clearly visible. Peter later explained that when he saw these evidences, which demonstrated that his hearers had been spiritually baptized, then he remembered the word of the Lord, that John indeed baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As Peter said, God gave them the same gift. Notice that. God gave the gift. They were spiritually baptized by God directly. It did not involve water at the hands of a minister. God baptized the people with the Spirit. He gave them the gift of the Spirit. And he did so directly without water. Likewise, it was Christ, said Peter, who had poured out the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, with no reference to water baptism. Water baptism is a symbol of spiritual baptism, yes, but the two are clearly differentiated in Scripture. We know that water baptism is a baptism which is to take place at or after conversion. In other words, leaving aside the extraordinary circumstances of the apostolic era, in New Testament terms, water baptism takes place only and always after a person has been baptized with the Holy Spirit. It is true that in one or two verses, spiritual and water baptism appear to be telescoped together, as in Acts 2 and Acts 22. But even in those verses, there is no warrant to think that the water baptism produced the spiritual baptism, or that the two were identical. The New Testament makes a clear distinction between the two. This distinction must not be blurred. To do so is to make a great mistake, with massive consequences. But it is done. Nor must it be forgotten, the concept of washing, cleansing, and sprinkling is common in the New Testament, without any suggestion of baptism. All the references, and there are many, are figurative. All. 3. It is also wrong to regard every biblical reference to circumcision as meaning the physical rite in the flesh. This cannot be right. After all, there is the circumcision of the heart, for example, and this does not mean open heart surgery. While there is a physical circumcision made in the flesh by hands, outward in the flesh, there is also a spiritual circumcision, which is regeneration by the Holy Spirit, of the heart, in the Spirit. These two circumcisions, like the two baptisms, must always be distinguished. Christ is the only one who can spiritually circumcise. Only he can circumcise without hands by, better in, putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. It is a great mistake not to differentiate between physical and spiritual circumcision. In both cases, baptism and circumcision, if the physical and spiritual are confused, the most appalling price will have to be paid. Yet this is done very frequently, especially by infant baptizers. So much for my cautionary remarks of introduction to the subject. I now move on briefly to account for the rise of infant baptism and what it has led to.